Have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. In the first part of the chapter, Paul mentions the mystery of the church. Been hidden from the Old Testament prophets. They did not know a thing about the New Testament church. It was a mystery. And now he says that mystery is being revealed, that God would really include both Jews and Gentiles into the body of Christ, into the church of the living God, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, or bond nor free. And I would like to say this tonight, in the church of the living God, there are no big I's and no little U's. There is nothing about anyone lording it over another. Those that are saved by grace, we've all been made one in the church, in the body of the living God. And tonight, I'm going to read from the third chapter, beginning with the 14th verse, and read throughout the end of the verse, the chapter. 14th verse, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he should grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let me read the last two verses again. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In the first part of the chapter, Paul mentions this mystery. The church has a mystery. And I have just mentioned tonight that the mystery was that God would include everybody, everyone, Jew and Gentile, whatever the background, to be a part in the church. When Jesus was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, he gave a guideline for praying. Now, I would like to start with this tonight. He was not so much telling us what to pray. He was not so much telling us where to pray. He was not so much telling us how when to pray, but telling us how to pray. Pray, he says, lifting up our voices in praise and thanksgiving to God, always giving glory to God. Let me leave this with you tonight. As we pray, make a large part of our prayer thanksgiving. Amen. Giving praise unto God for what He's already done. I would like to use, for the first part of the sermon tonight, the Lord's Prayer. I'm just going to mention briefly two or three parts, but to begin with, He says, Our Father. Jesus mentioning them, a model prayer. A lot of times people have had the idea that this is the most important prayer that we ought to pray, we ought to copy it. It's all right to pray that prayer, but that's really not what it's on. He's just giving us a guideline and a prayer. And when you begin to pray, when you come down to pray, rather than running in and asking God, God, I need this and God, I need that, give praise to God. Worship God. Let Him know that you love Him. And the Bible says, when Jesus began, He said, Our Father. Now let me say this tonight. Our Father means relationship. Our Father. In preparing the sermon, I thought there are between 6 and 7 billion people in the world. And with all of those in this world tonight, there are only two that can say of Glenn Jones, he's our Father. That's Mike and Tom. Of all the millions, all the billions, only two can say, he's our Father. But I want to turn it around tonight. God has made it possible for everybody of every nationality, of every ethnic background, of every race. He's made it possible for everyone to have Him as a Father. I'm glad He included you and me. I'm glad that He allowed me to be a part of the family of the living God. And I can say tonight, out of the depths of my heart, my Father, our Father, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then He goes on to say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name. I want to leave something here to begin with right now. The name of God is holy. The name of God is righteous. The name of God is above every name. I want us to understand that it's a holy name. We've got so many of our generation that are using it along with immoral thinking, or some cuss word, or some in vain, and all the rest. They're using the name of God in a way that it ought not to be. But I'm saying tonight, our God, our Father, His name is holy tonight. Hallowed be thy name. It's a holy name. Thank God, thank God. How many have I heard over the of my lifetime that have used the name of the Lord in vain? Don't love Him, don't serve Him, but they use His name. Oh God, tonight as a church, help us to lift up the name of Jesus. Help us, God, you're holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Think about it. We're praying, God, we want this experience that we have with you the same as it is in heaven with those that have already gone. Now, I'll try to paint a picture. There's no turmoil in heaven. There's no chaos, no confusion in heaven. There's no fighting, no battles in heaven. In fact, the angels, and I believe this, those angels that have been faithful to God and did not rebel, I was Satan when he was cast out of heaven, I believe that they are there tonight, desiring and endeavoring to do the will of God. They're there to minister, they're ministering angels, and they're pleased to be able to do the will of God. May it be that way with us. Be pleased to do the things that please God. It's not a chore to serve God. It's not a chore to work for God. I've been accused of being a more concerned about working at the church than I am at home. I've been accused of a lot of things. And not from my home. I hope y'all understand. But this is what I want to say tonight. The Bible tells me that things in heaven are right. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray that things here will be peaceful and calm and happiness, and we can enjoy the blessings of God. I know there's turmoil around about, but aren't you glad you can have the peace of God in your heart? At the very same time, whatever goes on, when I watch some of the news about that storm in the Northeast, and my heart goes out and still goes out to people that are suffering in such a manner. I've never even known anything that begins to compare. When you see the devastation in the New Jersey Shore, and the homes all gone, and a water so deep and caused by the hundreds that are now ruined, and the water in the subways, and they're trying to pump them out and get everything going maybe this week, and all the power that's down and everything, my heart goes out to them. But let me leave this with tonight. There is turmoil and confusion in this world, but there's coming a day. Hallelujah. If you serve God, you're going to be a part of the kingdom on the other side, where there's peace and joy forevermore. Amen. I'm glad we can have that in our hearts today, but there's still confusion in the world. He said that we would pray that let there be this way in earth as even as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then he says, as I come back to the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, I want to mention that. When he mentioned, I left out thy kingdom come a moment ago. Let me just fill that in right now. His kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy and happiness and justice and truth. And most of all, his kingdom is a kingdom of holiness. A holy kingdom. I thought of the nations of the world. Now, I was raised during the Depression. And as a young boy, the Second World War broke out when I was 10 years old. And so we went through while I was in school, high school, the Second World War came to an end in 1945. And then there was the Korean War, and then there has been Vietnam, and there have been other skirmishes. And in my lifetime, it seems that people are talking about, let's somehow get some things worked out for peace. When the Second World War was over, with the the meeting they had in Yalta with Roosevelt and Churchill and Stalin, and they have begun to try to work something out so that we can have peace in the earth and in the world. And you know the outcome, how there was a cheating on some sides, and there was all kind of things and that took place. But we've been talking about peace. And now in Jerusalem and Israel and the neighbors of Israel, they've signed peace treaties. And they've had three different prime ministers from Israel to meet with Palestinian leaders and come to Camp David here in America to try to sign a peace treaty so that we can finally have peace. Let me leave something with you tonight. There will be no peace really on this earth till the Prince of Peace comes. Jesus is the one. He's the Prince of Peace. We want peace, and thank God I can say this tonight. There is peace in my heart. Amen, amen. Whatever anybody else does, we can have the peace of God. And then I come to the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. There are the verses that I've just read. Paul prayed, God strengthen the believers in the inner man. Paul knew that if the inside, our inner man, the real me, was right with God, everything else would fall in place. That we might be spiritually strong, he said. That we might be rooted and grounded in the love of God. That Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, and that we might be filled with the Holy Ghost. And God's fullness, Paul prayed that as he was preaching, as he was writing this third chapter of the book of Ephesians, prayed. Then he came to the 20th verse, and with God's anointing upon his heart and filling his heart in life with praise, Paul tries his best to express the greatness of God. Paul somehow is trying to put it with pen and with ink on paper, trying to put down how great is our God. But let me say this tonight, he was unable to tell it all. He's a great big God. I am going to turn Paul's words around. I would like to preach for the next few moments from the 20th verse of the 3rd chapter and turn it from the bottom upwards. Start at the bottom and go upward. Paul said, how God, let me read it if I may. Now unto him that is able to do, and I'm going to come to the last part, unto him that is able to do all that we ask or think. I want us to stop and think about that for a moment. He's able to do all that we can ask or think. You might know the word all, and this is my own thinking. To me, the word all takes it all in. The word all leaves nothing. To me, possibly Paul was remembering the promise that Jesus had outlined in the 15th chapter of John when Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be given unto you. And so maybe Paul had that mind, and when it's all about ask what ye will, that whatever it is, our God is able to do all. Do all things for us. He's able to do all that we ask or think. I thought, my God, how great that is, that you would come to that, that Paul would come to that conclusion. Paul might have been thinking about the words of the father of that boy that was had an evil spirit. And when he began to pray and talk to the Lord said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Could I ask you a question? What does that leave? I couldn't think of a thing. I know my mind is not sharp. I was going to say as it used to be, I don't even know whether it's ever been sharp. But I couldn't think. If all doesn't mean all, what does all mean? That's my thinking. And God said, he will do all that you ask or think. Paul is writing. And the Spirit of the Lord is moving upon him. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God maybe gives him a greater vision, a greater image of the Almighty God. And Paul said, wait a minute. How God is able to do not only all, but above all that you ask or think. He said, all plus. I might as well tell you, I can't get my arms around that. I can't fathom it. All plus. He said, how God is able to do above all that you ask or think. And I tried to think about what that is. What does that include? How can it be above all?
And then Paul says, wait a minute. I haven't finished yet. Our God is able to do abundantly above all. Man. Would anyone like to explain it? Abundantly above all. And as I try to think about what that must include, I'm going to have you to put on your thinking caps tonight on a Sunday night. I would like you to take a moment right now and begin to think of what God has done. I know you'll not have time to think of it all. Think of some of what God has done in your life. And then I want you to add to that what God has promised that He will do in our lives as we trust Him. What God can do. I would like for you to jot those down in your mind. What God has done in your life. What God can do according to the Word of God. And as I thought about it, I didn't take out a pen and write anything down. But I thought about it. Paul said, when you have finished your list, when you've jotted down everything that you know that God has done and God can do that you can believe Him for, God can do above that and abundantly above that. I'll tell you what I believe tonight. God is saying, don't limit me. Hallelujah. When your mind goes as far as it can go, and when you thought of everything you could think of the blessings of God, He said, don't put an end to it. I'm still God. I'm beyond all of that. I can go beyond all of that. And God can do all that I can ask or think. My God can do all that I can ask or think. My God can do abundantly above all that I can ask or think. He keeps on building beyond what my mind can comprehend. He left me a long time ago down here. I cannot fathom. I cannot understand. I cannot realize in my mind how great is our God to tell me there's something above all. There's something above all. There's something abundantly above all. I cannot imagine that. And then Paul says, I still got something up from God. I've got another word from God. He said that you can only believe how God said you exceeding abundantly. Oh, we get out of there. Hallelujah. We got on the first rung of the ladder, and on the second rung of the ladder, and on the third rung of the ladder, and God says still there's more. And when He says there's exceeding abundantly, out of all we have to think, I believe I'm God's got no set. He's a big God. Amen, amen. Sometimes we live in God. Sometimes we have the idea. How why doesn't God do this and why doesn't God do that? He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. How God is speaking. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Have God sent him exceeding abundantly above all that I ask of it. I'll leave that for a homework assignment. If somebody would bring me the answer to that Sunday, one Wednesday night, I would be pleased. What do you say, preacher? My mind is limited. When I think of what God has done, He spoke. And the world, the universe has came into existence. Man, that's power. Yes, when I mention Him rolling back the Red Sea and feeding some 3 million for 40 years in the wilderness, taking care of them and the clothes didn't wear out, fed them and gave them water. When I think about what God's done, raising the dead and all the rest, then He says God's able to do more than that. Think about whatever goes greater than that, then more than that. If somebody, and I'm as sincere as I can possibly be tonight, my mind, I cannot fathom to save my life. I cannot fathom what God is saying. But I believe it. I believe sometimes we leave ourselves on, my God can do all, and that's all, man, that's all I know. That's as far as I can go, all. And then He says, above all, and abundantly above all, and exceeding above all. If our lives didn't have to be raised a little higher. Yes. I thought of the time in the 6th chapter of Isaiah. Glory to God. I read about it, and He said, in the year the king was died, I saw also the Lord high in the dead. And his praise filled
the sons of God. When we enter into the millennial reign, don't you know that's going to be signed with Jesus ruling and reigning from the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem, home of the Son of the Lord, and so will be the mock. Praise God, praise God. Harvest under the Lord. I feel David that changed the homeless in life. I feel that raised the homeless in front of him, going some other direction, and taking other things in the world. I hear the declare tonight that homeless is still on that way to go. It's not bad, it's not way. Harvest under the Lord. I can hear those angelic beasts crying, things that we can't even imagine.
And I'm going to close, and we're going to have communion, and I will have prayer and communion. I read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. One time I memorized the 53rd chapter. They come to a place in that chapter, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. What's the rest of it? And with the stripes you were healed. I don't understand a lot of things, but one thing I believe the Bible. Yes. The things that I cannot explain were others, I believe it just the way. I believe it anyhow. And tonight, as we come to the table of the Lord, as Christians, as believers, as the saints of the Most High, I want you to get your eyes on a higher plane than it's ever been. Yes. I want you to lift up your eyes tonight. Shame and anger that greater than anything you never realize. He said, we'll do all. Mm-hmm. Above all, exceeding above all. We are God, our God. He's able.
Yes, he is.
So
yes,
in one moment's time, he can touch my wife tonight, yeah, and remove every little thing, yeah, and make the whole completely. Yeah. You believe that? What God has done in the time past, he's still God.
Hallelujah.
God had it in mind those nights. In the name of Jesus, you're a big God, a good God. Come on, little piano.